Hey folks, have you heard of cancer-fighting foods? The American Cancer Society discovered diets rich in fruits and vegetables may actually lower your risk of cancer. Think about that for a second. That's really important. Hopefully you hear this and run to the store for 5 servings of fruits and vegetables every day. But if you're like me, you probably don't have the time to do that, right? So maybe you should consider adding Field of Greens to your daily health regimen. Each fruit and veggie in Field of Greens was doctor selected for studied health benefits. There's a heart health group, lungs, kidneys, and metabolism groups, even healthy weight. What your body needs is in each scoop of delicious Field of Greens. I take it every day. Sometimes I put it in a shake. Sometimes I put it in my egg white omelet in the morning. Field of Greens can help prevent, treat, and cure cancer? No, but it can powerfully help you out at your next checkup. Your doctor will notice your improved health or you're going to get your money back. Here's the most amazing thing about it. I started using Field of Greens a year ago. My cholesterol is down, my blood sugar is down, my weight's down, my health is up, my sleeping patterns are better, my metabolism is up. If you want to experience what I've experienced, go check out Field of Greens. Jump into the ring here. You're going to get an enormous benefit. And it's so simple. Single scoop, a couple of seconds, healthy lifestyle all day long. Now, thanks to our good friends at Brickhouse Nutrition, Field of Greens is going to give you a 15% off discount plus free rush shipping. All you got to do is go to fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code JUSTNEWS for your discount. That's promo code JUSTNEWS at fieldofgreens.com. Fieldofgreens.com, promo code JUSTNEWS. Go check it out. Hello, America, and happy Friday. Wow, what a busy week it has been. I'm exhausted, and today's no different. I mean, Friday finished just as frenetic as the beginning of this week. George Santos became the 6th member of Congress in the history of this country to be expelled, and only the 3rd since the Civil War. And he's the 1st that I know of in modern history to be expelled before there was a conviction for a crime. The other 2 before him were convicted of crimes before they were expelled. That's a pretty big moment in history. And that's not the only thing going on today. Sandra Day O'Connor, the first woman ever nominated and confirmed to the United States Supreme Court, passed away at the ripe age of 93, just a few days after another American icon, Henry Kissinger, passed away at the age of 100. Those are some of the headlines going on. Overnight, we broke a very big story. That's right. Cassidy Hutchinson, the Democrats' January 6th star witness. Well, after she was done testifying in public, she made significant changes to her testimony. Not corrections, not just like a technical typo here and there. She made significant changes to her transcribed interviews. We got the errata sheet. That's what it's called. We have a great show planned for you today focused on that because the changes and shifts in her story are substantial. Everything from the famous episode she alleged it's been debunked by almost everyone else that Donald Trump tried to commandeer his presidential limo to a moment where allegedly she overheard chance of hang Mike Pence and a lot of other things in between. Significant substantive changes in her testimony. We're going to kick off the show today with an interview with the man who helped uncover that document, Congressman Barry Loudermilk, the chairman of the House Administration's Subcommittee on Investigations. He's going to join us at the top of the show. Ralph Norman is going to be in the second block, Congressman Ralph Norman. He's going to weigh in on whether, as a Rules Committee member, one of the most powerful gatekeepers in Congress, whether Republicans actually will shrink any size of government, whether they actually will force any changes in border security. People starting to get frustrated a little bit. Well, Ralph Norman's going to answer to those questions later in the day. And then the third block, there was a great op-ed this morning explaining why some all Republican states have abandoned a principle that is, well, at the heart of conservatism these days, school choice, universal school choice, vouchers that follow you, your tax dollars follow you to the school of your choice, not forced to go to a failing school if your child doesn't fit there. Well, there are some Republican states that have said, we're not going to do it. People are confused why. Well, John Tillman, he has a tremendous explanation for it. He runs one of the most influential conservative organizations in America, and he says, I know what happened. You know what happened? Teachers unions started buying off GOP lawmakers in states like Texas and elsewhere. He's going to explain it all. The op-ed is getting enormous attention in the Wall Street Journal. John Tillman going to bring us under the hood. The dirty little secret, follow the money, follow the intent. Well, today we're going to understand why some Republican lawmakers, particularly in Texas, that's been a head scratcher. Greg Abbott, very frustrated by it, the governor there. Well, follow the money. John Tillman's going to explain that dynamic for us. Now, one other development. Tomorrow, we're going to have an exclusive interview on the show here with James Comer. But before that time, there there is some new news that's happening. This just broke on Just the News a short few minutes ago. James Comer and Jim Jordan, two of the key players in the Joe Biden impeachment inquiry that's ongoing in the House, they have responded to Hunter Biden. Hunter Biden says, listen, I don't want to follow the route of other witnesses. I'm special. I want to skip the transcribed interview process that has been the norm for Congress. January 6th used it. All the other impeachment witnesses have had to use it. All the other committees often use it. He just wants to go to a public hearing with no, without taking the step of transcribed interview. And James Comer and Jim Jordan say, you're not going to get treated special. I know you feel entitled, but not on this watch. You're not. You're going to have to play by our rules. And I think I want to read you a couple points of that letter. Let me just read this. This is from Jim Jordan, James Comer, hot off the presses. It just happened a short while ago. Hunter Biden's attempt to avoid sitting for a deposition pursuant to the terms of the subpoena by offering instead to testify at a public hearing amounts to a demand that he receive special treatment from the committee. Mr. Biden will not succeed in attempting to dictate to the committee how it conducts its investigation. The subpoenas Mr. Biden has received compel him to appear before the committee for a deposition. They are not mere suggestions open to Mr. Biden's interpretation of preference. Several Justice Department, FBI, and IRS officials have testified in transcribed interview and deposition settings, as has Devin Archer, Mr. Biden's former business associate. Notably, other than Hunter Biden's business associates are also cooperating with our subpoenas and not demanding a public hearing first. Mr. Biden seems to believe that he should be treated differently than other witnesses before the committee. Nonetheless, if it helps to alleviate your stated concerns, he writes, Abby Lowe, the lawyer for Hunter Biden, you should be aware that consistent with House and committee rules, we intend to videotape the deposition and release the deposition transcript soon as it's completion. All right, we're going to ask James Comer tomorrow. If Hunter Biden doesn't show up on December 13th, what are you going to do? You're going to take him to court. You're going to find him in contempt. We'll find that out in a short while, but that's a pretty big development there. And you got it first because you listen to John Solomon Reports, the podcast from Just the News. We're always grateful for your listenership. All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break in a second. But before we do, as you know, I am a big fan of getting healthier. And some of that healthiness is through healthy eating, Factor meals and Field of Greens, getting the right nutrition, the right amount of vegetables and fruit in my diet and less fat and sugar. Another thing I've done because I've suffered from terrible allergies and sinuses for a long time, I have a deviated septum, I have a hard time with any allergens. Well, making my ear cleaner, purifying my ear in the home has been a big part. I've had far less infections in my sinuses, far less congestion, far less vertigo, which I'd been a chronic sufferer of this year. And it all started when I decided to put an EnviroCleanse air purifier in my home, in my master bedroom back in June of this year. I can track the improvement in my sinuses and my health to that moment I did it. Why? Because EnviroCleanse air purifiers are military-grade technology. They're good enough for the Navy to use. They're hospital-grade as well. Hospitals use them. They wipe out bacteria, toxins, and mold that can make you sick. And I want to help you have a brighter, better future just like mine, a healthier breathing future. Right now, you can get EnviroCleanse for your home and get a huge savings. Now, don't let the viruses take over your home this holiday season. Have EnviroCleanse get in there and clean up the air. Right now, you can save 35%. You heard me right. Not 5%, not 10%, not 15%, 35% during an extended Black Friday sale. Plus get free fast shipping. How do you do that? Go to ekpure.com and use the promo code JustNews35 for 35% off. One more time. ekpure.com, ekpure.com, and then go use the promo code JustNews35 at checkout. You'll get 35% off plus fast free shipping from my good friends at EnviroCleanse. They support us. Have them help you support a better, healthy life in your home with cleaner air. Go to ekpure.com and use the promo code JustNews35 right now. All right, folks, when we come back, Congressman Barry Loudermilk, the chairman of the House Administration Subcommittee on Oversight, he'll bring us up to speed on that explosive story we broke this morning on the Democrats' J6 star witness, Cassidy Hutchinson. We'll have that right after these messages. Folks, if you owe back taxes, fair warning, you're not going to like this. The IRS is mailing millions of pay-up letters. Millions, I say. Then it's up to the 20,000 new IRS enforcement agents to find you. Why the IRS targets you and not millionaires? Well, because millionaires have tax lawyers. You don't. You'll pay up. Plus interest and penalties. You need Tax Network USA, and you need them now. Tax Network USA has brilliant war room strategies to solve your IRS problems quickly and in your favor. Like a preferred direct line to the IRS, they know which agents to deal with and who to avoid. It's not all bad news for you, because Tax Network USA learned of a special limited time IRS offer. They're willing to waive $1 billion in penalties if you qualify. So schedule your free confidential consultation to see if you qualify for this limited time IRS penalty canceling offer. To do so, call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000, or visit tnusa.com/justnews. That's tnusa.com/justnews. Angie's List is now Angie, A-N-G-I, the nation's largest home services marketplace, and they're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project is, big or small, indoor or outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled professionals to get the job done well. That's what you want, right? I'm thinking about building out my basement in my cabin. I've been perusing Angie, looking for just the right contractor to get it done the way my wife and I want it done. Now, Angie can help you find the best price for your project. Angie lets you request and compare quotes from multiple pros in just a few taps, or book services at an upfront price based on local data. Angie has cost guides that tell you what others have paid for similar projects, both nationally and right in your neighborhood. That's important, right? You can do comparative shopping. Get started today at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today. The app and the website are free to use. Angie.com or the Angie app. Go check it out today. Welcome back. The Democrats' star witness from the January 6th committee hearings, Cassidy Hutchinson, made significant changes to her testimony months later. How did she do it? Not in public, not in a way that we, the American people, or even other members of Congress could find out, but rather in a private errata sheet, a document that just made manual changes to her testimony. Now, we wouldn't know any of this if it weren't for the work of our next guest. He's the chairman of the powerful Oversight Subcommittee of the House Administration Committee, Georgia Congressman Barry Loudermilk, and he joins us right now. Mr. Chairman, good to have you on.
John, it's always good to be with you and Amanda. I appreciate it.
When your staff found this document, which had been kept from the American public for more than a year, year and a half, what was your first reaction to see the substantive changes that occurred here?
Well, that was amazing because, you know, we see a lot of errata sheets with all the depositions and transcribed interviews we have. And those errata sheets are usually for minor changes and technical errors in transcribed interviews, right? I was very shocked to see that substantive major changes in testimony was made over several interviews with one errata sheet. The other interesting aspect is when it happened, the errata sheet was done after she had gone public with her public testimony. So she had done several interviews up until that point in the summer of last year that it became public. Then it was the errata sheet was to go back and change her testimony. In my opinion, it's very suspicious that the errata sheet was changing her public testimony or changing her transcribed interviews to match her public testimony that she gave later.
That's amazing.
Yes, sir. I mean, these are big changes. These are substance changes, not just minor details here and there. And call me crazy, but when I hear about this and I see the major changes in a number of stories and high points of testimony that, by the way, the media absolutely ran with, do you think that there's any chance that Cassidy Hutchinson was coached on what to say, knowing that this committee hearing was going to be highly publicized and at the same time, knowing that she could go back and amend her testimony and the amendments would be concealed?
You know, that's a possibility. We don't know what her motivation was, but I can tell you that her attorneys changed during that time as well. And so that is something that I think we need to ask her about. Why such a sudden and substantive change into your testimony, especially months after you gave those testimonies and then immediately after you made public testimony?
Yeah.
That obviously was different than what was in the original transcribed interviews.
Yeah, very. That's what's so shocking about this. Sir, I want to ask about a possible avenue of investigation for you. Will you summon Cassidy Hutchinson? Will you summon Benny Thompson? Will you summon Liz Cheney for either a transcribed interview or testimony to try to figure out what went on here and why Congress and the public were kept in the dark about it?
Well, John, we're to the point of the investigation right now where we have to make those decisions and we do have to get answers. So everything is on the table. We are willing to go out and bring anyone in that we need to get to the truth. And so a lot of what we've been doing right now is just going through the millions pages of documents. You know, they did not give us a database that they used. I'm talking about the Select Committee on January 6th. They gave us just raw data, boxes full of documents and hard drives full of random data. So it's taken us quite a while to get through to find what we have as well as what we don't have. And so we're to the point right now where we've compiled this information. We're finding things like this errata data that doesn't make sense. And so our next step is to start calling people in and start asking some serious questions.
Yeah.
Sir, obviously, Congresswoman Liz Cheney is no longer in office. But I would think, well, first of all, my question is, how long have members of that committee known about the errata, known about this, the substantive and significant changes to the testimony? And wouldn't there be some obligation, especially on the part of people who have R's next to their name, to speak out about these changes? And if they didn't, which they didn't, why wouldn't they?
I'm going to assume that the members of the committee actually knew of this as in September of 2022 when the errata was made. And so that I would assume they knew about that at that point. Had I been on the committee, obviously I wasn't, that would have raised a lot of suspicion with me. But then again, we know that this committee was not seeking the truth. They had a preconceived narrative, and I can show evidence of that in what we've uncovered so far. Even with the false accusations they made against me, they had a preconceived narrative, and they only cherry-picked what information fit that narrative, and they ignored several other major factors of which we've been looking into so far.
Yeah, that is what has made your investigation so important. We're getting a 360-degree view of what happened on January 6th, not the tailored view that the Democrats gave us. I want to turn to the existence of or lack of existence of evidence, because some of this information you're digging up could have an impact in criminal trials, those of President Trump, yes, and others and many other things. But can you confirm to us that the videotapes of Cassidy Hutchinson, the ones where she's now changing her testimony through the errata, that they are missing, they are gone?
That is true. I can confirm that. And all of the videotapes of all depositions are gone. Again, we found out about this early in the investigation when I received a call from someone who was looking for some information off one of the videotapes. And we started searching and we had none. I wrote a letter to Benny Thompson asking for them. And he confirmed that they did not preserve those tapes. He didn't feel that they had to. But according to House rules, you have to preserve any data and information and documents that are used in a an official proceeding, which they did. They actually aired portions of these tapes on their televised hearings, which means they had to keep those. But yet he chose not to. I believe they exist somewhere. We've just got to find where all these videos are. And here's why it's so important. Even with Cassidy Hutchins, people have asked, why do you need the videos? You've got written transcripts. Well, when you've got someone like Cassidy who is significantly changing her testimony, I want to see what her body language is when she gave her original testimony. Yeah. I want to see what her voice inflection is. Was she very confident in what she was saying at that time, but then later decided to change it? This is why it's so important that we have those videotapes, and I believe that's probably why we don't have them.
Wow. Amazing.
Oof, that's frightening to think about. Sir, I wanted to go back to what we were originally talking about with her testimony and the possibility, you know, you mentioned that her legal counsel changed between when she testified to the committee and when they published or when they submitted the errata. How many other witnesses? Because by my recollection, I think that this committee, it was very expansive. I think they had almost three dozen witnesses. How many other witnesses do you think that this possibly applies to as far as an amended testimony? And how do you get a hold of those too?
Well, we're looking for those right now. We have found some errata data on others, and most of the testimonies, there are errata sheets. And as you would expect, most of them are minor details, just small errors that were made, that they were corrections made later. But on each one, those errata sheets come within days, if maybe weeks after the testimony, not months. We're still not sure exactly how many people. We do know how many witnesses there were that testified publicly, but we're still unaware of how many people they actually got transcribed interviews or depositions from. And so we're going to be asking the committee to give us a complete list of everyone that you called in for a transcribed interview or a deposition, because we know there are documents that they did not give us. In fact, there are documents that they sent to the White House and DHS to keep us from having those.
It's absolutely stunning. Congress keeping evidence from itself. It's just unbelievable. Sir, I want to turn to a bombshell revelation you made last night. I'm going to ask the control room to put these pictures up. You just got some new documents from the Justice Department that were congressional documents, but when you got them, the information's all blacked out. We'll show folks as you talk about this.
Right. This is what I was referring to just a moment ago. During our investigation, as we're, combing through the millions pages of documents, we find a letter, a couple of letters from Benny Thompson, one to the White House and one to the Department of Homeland Security. Those letters were basically saying, we're sending you documents for you guys to keep. Well, these are House documents. They were transcribed interviews and depositions done of White House personnel and Secret Service in an official committee of the House of Representatives. Those are House documents. They belong to the House. First of all, he should have never sent them to the executive branch. So we asked for those documents back. What you're seeing is what was returned by the White House. Documents that were so heavily redacted that they're basically unusable. And so my question to this is, one, these are House documents. They belong to the House. They should have never been sent. And second of all, do not send them back to me this heavily redacted. Those are our documents. But my question is, why was it okay for a Democrat-run House of Representatives to have unredacted documents, but not when there's a Republican committee that's looking into this? What is it that the committee and or the White House is trying to hide? Maybe it's nothing. That's fine. But if it's nothing, why are you sending us documents that are so heavily redacted they're unusable?
Yeah, that's a powerful question.
Unbelievable. And I doubt it would be the same way if the shoe was on the other foot. Sir, I wanted to ask you a broader question about everything that you're uncovering, because a lot of people referred to the January 6th committee as a show trial. I mean, obviously, it wasn't technically a trial, but something to change public sentiment. And while I think that's true, there seems to be another purpose of it, which seems to be that there are elements of what was revealed, even though some of it was changed, much of it was changed. That is being used in court cases against January 6th defendants. And even in some of these cases where Donald Trump, there are attempts to get him removed from the ballot. The more and more that you put out there the truth about what happened, do you think that removes that ability from them to use that in future cases?
Well, it's interesting that the federal government has deemed that the very documents that you just showed up on the screen were valid enough for the federal prosecution against Donald Trump. Those documents right there, they are using in that prosecution, but yet we can't see those. So there must be something valid in those documents. And by the way, there's a suite of documents that were sent to the Department of Homeland Security that the Department of Homeland Security won't even reply to my letter to send those back. So we will be taking more aggressive steps going forward, both to the White House and Department of Homeland Security, because it's important that American people have the truth.
All right, folks, don't go anywhere. When we come back, another great guest right around the corner. That's right, Ralph Norman, Congressman from South Carolina, and one of the most powerful gatekeepers in Congress, because he sits on the House Rules Committee that determines what gets to the floor and what doesn't. He'll answer the question, will they or won't they cut the size of government? That is Republicans in the House. Ralph Norman with the answer right around the corner.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
The House Speaker, Mike Johnson, and his team are trying to get all the spending bills done to finally shrink the size of government, to get individual votes on things like aid to Ukraine and Israel, and certainly to close the border. South Carolina Congressman Ralph Norman is at the center of all of that very important work. He joins us right now. Congressman, great to have you on the show.
Great to be with you, John, Amanda.
It's great to have you, sir. Before we get to the news that I know you're working on day in and day out, just a quick top line reaction. You're probably not that surprised that Cassidy Hutchinson went in and changed her story a little bit. But the idea that the January 6th committee kept that change, those changes from the American public, should we be concerned about the conduct of Benny Thompson, Liz Cheney and others?
Well, you know, we all know John and Amanda, and I think the American people know the whole charade of that January 6th commission was a charade at best. It was a dog and pony show, and they kicked Jim Jordan off and Jim Banks, when he wouldn't allow Nancy Pelosi to be cross-examined on the stand. It was all a maneuver to get Trump. And it doesn't surprise me. And I guess the good news, her conscience got to her. But now covering this up is just a tragedy for the American people. It's got to be exposed. And there has to be consequences for this. Mm-hmm. This administration is running over our democracy, our Constitution. And for this to take place, had to be pre-planned and had to be coordinated with all the members that led by Liz Cheney and her group. It's just unheard of, and I'm glad it's coming out now, and I'm glad Barry Loudermilk found it.
Yeah, important stuff.
Yeah. He's been on the hunt, and it seems like he's definitely hit a stride. Sir, I wanted to ask you about these spending bills. To my knowledge, I think Speaker Johnson there's only one more that's been completed of those 12 appropriations bills. My concern is that if this is punted to January, there's not going to be enough time for negotiations and any meaningful spending cuts. Do you share that concern and urgency for January?
Yeah, I really do. I mean, it's Mike Johnson is an honorable person. He is truthful. And as I told him in caucus today, we trust what you say. But now, Amanda, it's time to play hardball with the Senate. The cancer in this country is spending. Politicians are good at that. They're not good at cutting. And what we're going to urge Mike to do is to, with whatever comes back for the Senate, it's got to have a top line spending level that we voted on in the House, which is the FRA number of started out 1.47, 1.59. But it's got to have the HR2 in it, which is the border control with teeth in it. It's got to have Israel paid for, which is already in the Senate's hands. And any funding for Ukraine had to be paid for instead of keeping it going. And hopefully Mike Johnson will relay this to the powers that be in the Senate and walk away. The best deal is no deal in this case. And, you know, if we're not going to start some type of fiscal restraint, when are we? And we're at the point now that this country is digging itself in a hole that I don't think it can get out of.
Yeah, it's for the first time in a long time, Congressman. I walk around town and people see me, and instead of asking me about Russia collusion or January 6th or Ukraine and the Biden scandal, they say, are we ever going to cut the size of government? And we can't. Are we going to be able to afford this debt with interest rates going up? It's really on the consciousness of the American people in a way I haven't seen in a long time. It's always been on the front radar for you. How do we get other members of Congress who don't have the urgency you do to realize that the American people are petrified of the debt that we're accumulating?
Well, I think it's going to have to be led by the Speaker. And, you know, we got such a tight majority, John, we're going to withhold our vote on it. And I know the drop-back position is that 2% cuts, called the Massey cuts, that kick in April. But if I gave you 98% of what you wanted, is that really a cut? I would make the argument that it is not. So he's going to have to lead the charge on it, and hopefully he will. But we've got to start walking away from whatever comes back from the Senate. The omnibus, that's their plan. That's Schumer's plan. And to be frank with you, that's McConnell's plan. And we just can't accept it. And there's a group of us led by the Freedom Caucus and led by certain members of the Senate, Mike Lee, Ron Johnson, and others who are going to prevent cloture in the Senate. So hopefully we'll call this to a head and just sit, sit as long as it takes to make sure that these things are in order before we pass anything.
Yeah, such a common sense idea.
Congressman, before we switch to a different topic, I wanted to ask you about spending, but spending of the American people, because we saw that cute little 4.9% number come out in the Biden administration touting all of the spending on Black Friday all the way through Cyber Monday. And I saw a really disturbing report a few days ago from Bloomberg that hardship spending or hardship withdrawals from people's IRAs are up 30%. And then you consider, the credit card debt a few months ago topped $1 trillion. You've got outside of the 20% wealthiest Americans, the lower 80% of Americans have less cash now than they did before COVID. And we're seeing these inflated, these bloated numbers. My concern is that after Christmas, after the spending is over and people start getting those credit card bills and they start feeling the pain of withdrawing from their IRAs, that the spending is going to stop and there is not going to be a soft landing for our economy. I got to think that's not a part of Bidenomics, is it?
No, it's Bidenomics is a hoax. The American people know it. The fact that Americans per person are spending $11,000 more. There's been no reduction in the price of gas to amount to anything. Same thing with groceries. Same thing with the interest rate on the credit cards that people are going to be faced to see what that actually is. They can't afford it as, now. And housing is going to be affected. I know in my state of South Carolina, it's slowed down. The interest rates are up. And, there is a breaking point. And, John, to your point, I think they realize the national debt is a major problem because they're having major problems in the budgets of their businesses and individual families. So there's been no bright light or no shining positive effect at any point. So that's the problem we face. And we're going to hit it. It's not going to be a soft landing, and neither it is on any of the programs that continue to be funded, which need to be cut. The Democrats, we get no help on, and frankly, a lot of the Republicans, we don't have any help on as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sir, I just got a message from one of your colleagues, Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, just texted me, said she's pulling her resolution from the floor tonight that was going to be the second impeachment articles attempt for Alejandro Mayorkas. She says she's gotten an assurance from the Speaker and from Mark Green, the chairman of the House Homeland Security Committee, that, in fact, they will get to impeachment, but tonight's not the night. Can you give us your thoughts on that? And can the American people expect sometime soon some form of accountability for a Homeland Security Secretary who's left the border so insecure?
Well, what's going to have to happen is it's called consequences. When it takes place, and I think we will get to the point, we'll get to 218 on Mayorkas, and hopefully we'll get to the impeachment of Biden when that, we get all the facts in on that. But we can't just continue to have the hearings with no consequences for these people who have lied to the American people. They've been blistering the Constitution and shredding it from day one. So she must not have had the votes, but the fact that heading into Christmas is probably not a top of the list. And in Congress, we seem to major in the minor when it comes to serious cuts. We just don't do it, and so that's more important than who gets impeached.
We major in the minor. That makes a lot of sense. Actually,
I love it. It's a good description. Sir, just 45 seconds left. George Santos, that vote tomorrow for his expulsion, it's only happened, I believe, 5 times in American history.
Well, I'm not going to vote to expel George Santos. The Democrats are doing it to lessen the Republican votes in the House. And, he has to answer to his constituents. He represents the same amount that we do. Others do, and he's already indicated he's not running. Again, to even have this floor vote is another example of we majoring the minor issues. I don't think the topic of conversation is around America is George Santos going to get thrown out of Congress. Democrats are good at distracting, and I'm not going to vote for that.
All right, folks, one more good one to go. When we come back, John Dillman, the author of a very powerful news op-ed this morning in the Wall Street Journal on why some Republican states are struggling to get school choice passed. He'll explain why right after these messages.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, folks, welcome back for the commercial break. If you were perusing the Wall Street Journal opinion pages, like I do often, you would have seen in the last 24 hours a very powerful op-ed. It actually had a lot of reporting, a lot of journalism. It wasn't just an opinion piece. Taking a look at a trend line of teachers' unions suddenly spending big on GOP state lawmakers. Now, wait a second. Teachers' unions tend to lean left. What's going on here? Well, the author of that great op-ed is joining us right now, and he's going to explain it all to us. He is the CEO of the American Culture Project. He's been on the show many times before. John Tillman's here with us. John, great to have you on the show.
Great to be back, John. Thanks for having me. And yes, the dirty little secret the teachers' unions give to Republicans, too. And it doesn't work out well for those who want to have some reform on public education and education in general.
Yeah, with the old adage, right, in our profession, follow the money, follow the intent. And now we know that these teacher unions, well, they're essentially trying to buy off GOP state local lawmakers from supporting school choice, right? Is that really the basic thing that's going on here?
That's exactly the basic thing. They give the teachers unions and government unions in general give the vast, well over 90% of their hard campaign dollars to Democrats. And everybody thinks, oh, they're in the Democrat pocket. But they have very smart people running those unions, and they give material money that's a small percentage of their total, but nevertheless a material amount of money to Republicans. And as the piece outlines today, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, and Texas, in particular. And so the reason I started looking into this, John, is you have these red trifecta states where Republicans control both chambers of the House and the Senate, and then they control the governorship. And we're not getting aggressive pro-liberty, pro-children education reforms and other reforms. And I started to wonder why. I've been involved in the government union issue for a long time, as you know, back to the Janus Supreme Court case of 2018. And I thought, well, let's go start digging into the money. And so we dug into the money, and we found out that the unions are giving tens of thousands, on an aggregated basis, hundreds of thousands of dollars to Republicans to block reforms. That's our problem. And so what we have to do is start taking teachers' union money toxic for any Republican running for office.
We chronicled the battle with Texas Governor Greg Abbott, who's been trying to get school choice through, I think, four consecutive sessions of the legislature. And it's the House, state House, that blocks it. In fact, the state Senate has been in favor, but the state House hasn't. And that's where it seems like a lot of the teacher union money was starting to eke in. This is sort of an interesting thing. And you know, when you look through the history of America, when we've had a problem in the past, we've always gone to the free market and competed. When we wanted to get to the moon, we used the free market enterprise to get there. When we wanted to solve many of the great ills in economy or energy or other places, we use competition. For some reason, there's an allergy in a large part of America to create any competitive opportunity in schools, which at the end of the day, trap students in decades of failure in these many of these urban education things. Why are we so afraid of competition in the education space when it has benefited us so greatly in so many other sectors of this country?
Well, I think the educational bureaucracy, the people, you know, there is literally an educational industrial complex, both at the K-12 letter and at the level and at higher ed. And the teachers, the administrators, the janitor, the football coaches, the basketball coaches, the volleyball coaches, they are all embedded in the community with the parents. And they do this because that's naturally what happens. When you go to your child's school, you become friends with the other parents. You get to know the teachers. You get to know the administrators. And they become immersed. So I think that people think wanting competition for the local public school is somehow disloyal to the place their children or their friends' children have been going. And we have to change that, because it's not about loyalty to an educational system that is government run. It should be loyal to the best system, whether private or public, that creates the best outcomes for children. And the dirty little secret that a lot of people don't realize, I know you do and probably most of your audience does, John, is that part of the problem is that suburban schools that people perceive as being pretty good and often are pretty good, parents want that to be left alone. They have they grew up in those schools, their brothers went to those schools, and they like that feeling of community. And what they are told by the teachers' unions is that choice will destroy that. But what's actually happening is in urban settings in places like Chicago, East St. Louis, Oakland, California, Cleveland, Ohio, Baltimore, Maryland, every one of those urban schools is failing. They're failing black and brown children. They're failing poor children. And what choice will do is bring the same kind of quality options to these kids who are disadvantaged that these parents have for their own kids in suburban America. And that's partly why we have to keep pursuing this.
Yeah, pretty remarkable. And people will say, well, does money really make a difference? And there's one of these great anecdotes in your great column this morning. The Georgia Association of Educators PAC funded four Republican lawmakers in the state house. All four won. All four voted against the universal school voucher bill, the new form of making your tax money portable with you when you go to school. And oh, what was the difference in the vote? 89-84, a four-vote margin. Georgia gives us a really great case example that money does matter, right?
That is a perfect illustration of how the money matters. And people often say, well, it's not a lot of money. It's $20,000 or $30,000. But in these races, especially in rural races, where the total spend on a campaign is $40,000 or $50,000 or $60,000, that money is extremely material, number one. The second thing that happens is the teachers union tells these Republicans, we won't come after you if you support us. And unfortunately, many of these Republican members of the House or the Senate are more interested in being a member of the House or Senate because it's the best job they've ever had than actually advancing a policy agenda. And that is why I believe what Governor Abbott is doing now in Texas and has already begun that process, what Governor Kim Reynolds did in Iowa by going after recalcitrant Republicans opposing school choice in primaries, taking those people that are union aligned out and putting in policy-driven legislators, that is what we have to do. We have to make Republicans live up to the principles, which is we should be for choice for kids, whether they live in urban America, rural America, or suburban America. Every kid, no matter what their zip code, should have a choice. And the irony is Republicans can be on the moral high ground here, helping black and brown and poor kids all over this country get a fair shot at an education. They should be embracing it.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt. Ground zero for this battle is moving in the next few weeks and months to Tennessee, where Governor Bill Lee has just started a process to make Tennessee the 10th with universal school choice and basically the moving vouchers. Tell us what we can expect to see in the Tennessee, and will there be any different dynamic given the wisdom of your column and what we just learned in Texas? It seems like Kim Reynolds, Governor Abbott, making clear, you oppose me on this, I'm going to make it painful for you, Republican, fellow Republicans. Does Bill Lee jump into that seat right away, maybe get a chance of passing it, not have to do it after the fact?
Yeah, I think Governor Lee has taken a very smart approach. He's exhibiting leadership as compared to, say, Governor Kemp in Georgia. Governor Kemp in Georgia didn't want about it, has exhibited very weak leadership. He's come along and he's kind of given lukewarm support to what's going on in Georgia, but he has not put all of his weight behind it. He should. Governor Lee is putting his weight behind it, coming out in a companion editorial today. Obviously, the Wall Street Journal has a piece on what's going on in Tennessee. So I think it's going to go. I think it's going to go much better. The other thing that I'll tell you, sort of off the record, that is going on is there are people who have some resources looking at various ways to put money, whether it's in Tennessee or elsewhere, and to start targeting these Republicans in primaries who are opposing school choice. And I think that threat will be hanging over the school choice debate in Tennessee. And as a result of that, I think we're going to see a good bill, and I think we're going to see passage.
Yeah, that's so important. John, you do such amazing work, not just on the op-ed pages of the Wall Street Journal, but in so many other places as well. For folks who want to follow the great work of your project and want to have an impact, what's the best way to stay in touch with you?
They can go to AMCulture, as in AmericanCulture.org, and learn about what American culture does around the country. And they can also go to TheCommandingHeights.com, which is my umbrella site that lays out all the things that I'm involved with around the country, because I have, as you know, many hats.
You do, and all of them are moving the country towards a better place. It's always fun to watch you in action. I'm always in awe of, I don't know how you juggle so many balls in the air, but you're making a difference. You're educating the American public, and we're better for it. So what a great opportunity to have you on, and congrats on this Wall Street Journal piece. I've heard from a lot of people today. You hit a very important nerve at a very important time in our country's history.
Well, thank you, John. Always great to be on your show and with your great, very smart audience. Thank you.
Back at you, my friend, and have a great weekend. All right, folks, that wraps up another edition of John Solomon Reports. A big thank you to Chairman Barry Loudermilk for his expose on Cassidy Hutchinson and her very changed testimony. To Ralph Norman for his insights on the border. And will government ever get cut on the House Republicans' watch? He gave us a pretty clear answer there. And, of course, John Tillman for insights on why Republicans are taking teacher union money and then voting against school choice. Remember, if you want to get one of those great air purifiers from EnviroCleanse and have a healthier breathing Christmas holiday season, go to ekpure.com, use the promo code JustNews35. You will get 35% off plus fast free shipping. Go do that today and support my good friends at EnviroCleanse, ekpure.com, ekpure.com. Use the promo code JustNews35 at checkout. All right, that wraps up another edition of John Solomon Reports. We'll be back tomorrow with the Saturday edition. James Comer, chairman of the impeachment inquiry, will be joining us in a little bit, as is one of the great champions of free speech, Mike Benz, and, of course, Waleed Farez, one of the great national security thinkers. A great Saturday show. You want to be sure to tune in. We'll be back tomorrow with that programming. Until then, God bless and have a great night. Hey, folks, can your IRA or 401k stand up to the next financial crisis that our top economists are saying is right at our doorstep? By allocating a percentage of your retirement into physical gold and silver with a tax-free rollover, you can diversify and safeguard your holdings from a turbulent market and economic downturns. All you got to do is put your IRA back on the gold standard. With a multi-trillion dollar trade deficit and ongoing geopolitical instability, experts say now is the time to make the switch. Find out how to safeguard your assets with a tax-free rollover with a Genesis Gold IRA, the only IRA that can hold physical precious metals. Protect your retirement today with one simple phone call and receive your free gold and silver guide from my good friends at Genesis Gold. To do that, call Genesis Gold Group today at 800-200-GOLD Gold. That's 800-200-GOLD. And find out how you can add precious metals to your IRA. One more time, let me give you the number. It's 800-200-4653. 800-200-4653 or gold, or visit them at genesisgoldgroup.com. Genesis Gold, welcome to the John Solomon Just the News family. At Just the News, we break the stories others in the media ignore or are too afraid to tell. We did it on Russia collusion, Hunter Biden, and the security and intelligence failures that preceded January 6th. Our stories have real impact and reach because we stick to the facts. I'm John Solomon. You can help me expand our honest, unvarnished, and unbiased reporting by becoming a premium member at Just the News. You'll get an ad-free experience and exclusive member-only access to events, and you'll be helping us dig up more truth. Join today at justthenews.com/subscribe.